This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas to make mealtime fun and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show planned for you today. So grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage and let's get started. I'm really excited about today's conversation. My guest today is Dana Ferrant. Dana is a power matrix coach who works with women who are ready to stop playing second fiddle and own their power. She has a very unique approach to working with women to create a radical, massive change in a very short amount of time. Her multi-layer approach allows all aspects of the person to be unlocked at the same time so that change becomes easy and permanent. Many of the people Dana works with are challenged by their own negative self-judgment, and that can impact food choices, eating habits, and ultimately overall health. Dana is a master healer, life strategist, massage therapist, former CEO, best-selling author, and a sought-after speaker, and I'm so delighted that she is going to join us today. I know that she'll give us some great tips that you'll be able to apply to your own life right away. Welcome, Dana.
Thanks, Janelle. I'm really excited to join you today.
I'm really excited about this conversation and what you've got to share, and it really is a conversation we've been having with self-judgment and how much that affects people. It comes up in so many shows, so I'm really excited that today we're really going to focus in on it, and you've got a lot to share with how that can impact people's health and food choices. But before we get started, I'd love to have you tell our listeners just a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a Power Matrix coach.
Absolutely. So I started 24 years ago as a massage therapist, and working with people and their bodies, I noticed very quickly how it was more than just the physical aspect. So I really started, you know, digging in and bringing in some more training as far as the psychotherapy, energy work, and pulling together this multi-level approach to working with clients. And my focus very quickly kind of shifted more into what some people call life coaching, but I call it life strategy because it's beyond the coaching. It's really, you know, gathering all the pieces and saying, okay, what needs to be addressed? How does it need to be addressed? And changing things for people in a way that's very dynamic and very quick for them. And Power Matrix is a term that I've coined for myself because one of my big drives is to really work with women, as you said in the intro, to work with women and get them to step up and own their power. But owning your power it's not about, you know, I'm going to have power over, but owning it in this way that's authentic. You walk into the room and it's complete confidence in a quiet, feminine strength.
I love that, complete confidence. I think as women, we take care of everyone else, and we tend to encourage other people to do it, but we don't do it for ourselves.
Absolutely.
So,
sorry, go ahead.
It's interesting because I find that a number of people that have been, you know, that do massage therapy end up taking on, whether it's life coaching or a more comprehensive coaching like you do, Is it because that you're seeing that just the massage therapy isn't working? That is it from the conversations you have, or is it getting to know people's bodies as you work on them?
I would say it's a bit of all of it. I mean, for me, I'm highly intuitive, very sensitive to what's going on with people. So, you know, when someone comes to me, I can immediately pick up what's going on with your body. But I'm also picking up what's going on with you energetically. Sometimes people swear I can read their minds, but I can, you know, I can tell that there's mental chatter. You know, so I'm reading all of that, and I was always picking that up when I was working with people, and I could really sense that. You know, they would come in, let's say, for example, they would come in with, like, a shoulder pain, and it wasn't just the shoulder, you know, because I could work on it physically, but that wasn't addressing it. And when we started to address it and bring in some of the other pieces where we, you know, address the energy and address the emotions, then suddenly we were able to get things to unlock in a much faster time frame.
So do you help people kind of tap into their own intuition? Because I believe, and I'd love to hear what you think, that we all have that within us, but some people like yourself really learn how to pay attention to it, and you don't ignore it because you know it's a very powerful, it's very powerful when you do tap into it.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely, I'm right with you that, you know, everybody has the ability. We're all intuitive. We all have that. It's just that for so many people, they've learned to suppress it, and so they've turned it off. And then there's lots of great tools for being able to turn it back on and get reconnected to it and using it for your advantage.
That's really interesting, because I think children are very intuitive because they really follow what they think. They don't have all those, that mind chatter, as you say, going on. And as we grow older, I think we tend to listen to what other people say so much,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's one of the issues that makes it so challenging for us. We listen to others so much that we tend to doubt our own voice.
For sure. And how many times, you know, growing up, you have that niggle of like, I don't really like that person, but you don't have a cognitive explanation for why you don't like them. You just know you don't like them. And, you know, a parent or grandparent or authority person says, well, that's silly. Like, they're a great person and you should just get over that, right? And so that starts that process of squashing it and starts that self-doubt of like, oh, well, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think you're absolutely right. And you hear that over and over again, and you hear that from different people, then you begin to say, well, wait a minute, there must be something I'm missing. And not really
going, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of pushing back and saying, no, I know what I know.
Mm-hmm.
Just because this is what's true for me doesn't mean it has to be true for you. And that's the piece of intuition, is that it's your intuition. And my intuition doesn't have to be the same as your intuition.
Mm-hmm. Because each of us are very different, and we have different needs and different things that will make us happy. And I think by starting to really listen to what that voice is saying, it will really help us quite a bit. You know, you say that you work with all aspects of a person at the same time. Can you tell us a little bit what that means?
Absolutely, because it's a bit different for most people. So what I've noticed is that there is kind of four layers. You've got the mental, the emotional, the energetic, and the physical. And so when I'm working with somebody, I like to address all four at the same time. Because if I just address the emotions, you've got the other three systems that are not changing with the emotions. And so those three are going to pull the emotions to come back to where it was. And same thing, if I work with just the mind, right, you've got the other three, and it pulls it back. And so that's where I see so many people, they'll do work, and it's this ping-pong back and forth because you haven't got them all shifting and changing. But when you get all four of them in agreement and moving, now all of a sudden it becomes effortless and easy.
Interesting. So how do you get people to see that they really need to work on all four? Because I can imagine you might get someone that would say, I'm fine in these other areas. They know, or they think they know what they need. So how do you get them to shift to really realize that it's not just one piece, that it really is the whole package?
I don't think I've ever come across that, because honestly, when people come to me, they already have kind of a sense of what I do or I get a lot of word of mouth referrals because mm-hmm. I get such dramatic results. And so then all their friends are like, well, what are you doing? So when they first start with me, I let them know that part of the agreement is that you are going to be open and willing to do something different than you've done before. And you're going to let me guide you. And if you're not willing, then it's mm-hmm. not going to work.
That's really interesting. But having people come to you that know what you do would absolutely make a difference. Because I know I talk to a lot of women, and they think the problem is they think they know what the issue is or what they need to fix, where I would say, then that's probably not what the core issue is, because if they knew what it was, they would fix it and get results. But they try to fix it and they don't get results, which probably means that it's one of the other areas that's really off and they just don't know it.
Absolutely.
That's a really interesting perspective. Gets my mind going, and I sitting back and thinking, you know, I can see how that would actually work.
Yeah, and I will often pose a question to people, you know, like you do with your clients probably, is that it's like, if that was working for you, if you knew what it was and you were, if you knew what you needed to do to change it, why are you still stuck?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are you willing to do something different?
Mm-hmm. I love that question. And I would challenge all of our listeners to really think about that, you know, if you knew what to do, why aren't you doing it? And are you willing to do something different? I think if a lot of people really ask themselves that question and answer it honestly, they'll see they need to do something different, and hopefully it'll shift what they're doing and get them to really realize they need to do something differently.
Yeah, because if what you were doing is working, then you wouldn't be listening to these calls.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, ultimately, maybe I shouldn't say that, but ultimately that would be the goal, that people are having such great health results, they're really making changes, and it's going to have such a big impact on their life that they don't need to, that they can, you know, they're really doing everything that they should do and could do and seeing those phenomenal results. That would be my goal. But we still have a lot of people to reach to make that happen.
Fortunately for both our businesses, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'd love to ask each of my guests, what motivates them to live healthy and to share their message about healthy living with others? We call it their big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live a healthier life and to share your message with others?
So I'm going to take it from the emotional spin, emotional energy spin. I grew up in a cult, a religious cult, and I went through physical abuse, sexual abuse, spiritual abuse, psychological abuse. You know, it's all been part of it. And so my personal journey has been unraveling that in all the different layers and aspects and getting free of it totally. So that's really been a big motivation. And now that I've, you know, done so much work around it, really found some things that work very effectively, I'm really excited to help other people to also unravel. And, you know, whether they've been through abuse or whether it's just, you know, getting unstuck from the day-to-day, that drives me, you know, just to keep going. I love the transformation for people that way.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that, because I know sometimes when people have been through things like that, they tend to keep it quiet. But I love the fact that you took something that could be negative, and I'm sure was very, you know, very traumatic and very difficult to go through, but you've shifted it and really turned it around to not only help yourself, but use that knowledge to really help others move forward. And it shows that with the right tools, the right help, the right support, you can absolutely shift things around, but you can't do it by yourself.
It's not as easy by yourself, that's for sure.
That's so true. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a really short break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about self-judgment and really how that plays into the choices that we make. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Dana Ferrant, and she's a Power Matrix coach, and we've been having a great conversation about just really how to become aware of kind of that mind chatter and shifting that. And she's got a question that she asks on her website, and I love this question, Dana. It's, are you ready to step out of the perpetual loop of problems and step into a bold, sexy, and fun-filled life? How do people react when you ask them that question?
Oh, I love asking people that question, especially if I can see them, you know, face to face, because there's an excitement that opens up for them. They're like, ooh, I can actually have that. They really kind of open up and light up. And at the same time, it brings up like, ooh, I don't know what does that involve, right? So it's really quite an opener for people.
And I would imagine, too, that with a question like that, even if you're not standing and looking at them, and I bet when you do look at them, you can see that perplexed look and probably then kind of see the possibility open up. But I would bet that that's the kind of question you could probably, if you're talking to them over the phone, you can probably hear the shift from being contemplative to kind of excited. Because I would bet that a lot of people are so stuck that they don't see that there's any possibility to get unstuck.
Yeah, very definitely. I see a lot of people who, you know, they're so focused on the problem and what's not changing, what's not working, what's not changing, what's not working. And that's all they can see. It's like they have blinders on. And by asking them a question like that, it's like, okay, yes, you still have your, you know, problems that you have, but it's like, let's take the blinders off and see what else is available. It gives them a little peek at what else is possible.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I'm finding, if it doesn't take a lot, but it takes the right focus. And I've had 3 or 4 conversations in the last week with people, and the words that they're using, because I've gotten, I'm sure that you do the same, I've gotten really good at listening to their language. And listening to the words that they're using. And I was talking to someone just the other day, and they said, well, I think I can do it. I might be able to do it. And you could just hear the tentativeness in their voice. And once we had it was really a very short conversation, and really got them to take back their power and own it. It's like, no, I believe you really can do it. I know you've got what you need. And at the end of a very short conversation, she goes, you know, I can do this. And the next morning, it was so exciting. I got a text from her and say, you know, thank you. I've got my power back.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's such a quick shift. But they, so what kind of words do you hear people say that kind of are your cues that something's not quite right?
I hear a lot of people, it's twofold. One, they are talking a lot in terms of, you know, what's not working. And then taking that and it's about somebody else. So I can't make money because of the economy. I can't get more clients because there's too much competition. You know, this is always projecting it out into what's not in their control instead of, you know, saying, okay, what can I do?
Yeah. No, I, you know, it's interesting you say that because until people take back and focus on what they can control and let go of what they can't control, nothing is going to change.
Right. Yeah, because you'll only change or you'll only go in the direction of what you're focusing on. So the more you focus on what you can't change, you're going to stay in what you can't change.
So again, I would change people listening to this conversation to really pay attention to the words they're using, pay attention to what they're blaming because something's not working. And it's not in a bad way, but just for me, when I made some shifts about 5 years ago in some different things, I really got to the point where I looked at what I was saying and the words I was choosing and really owning those. And once I did that, it made such a difference in what I looked at as far as what was possible.
Mm-hmm.
It makes such a big difference. You know, I'd like you to have to talk a little bit about the role that self-judgment plays in the choices people make when it comes to taking action, because I think that falls perfectly with what we've just been talking about.
Absolutely. Self-judgment is so prevalent. We really beat ourselves up very harshly these days. And when you are in the mindset of, I really suck at this, or I can't do this, I'm not good at this, I can't do that well, somebody else does it better, then you fail to move forward because you've already decided that you can't do it really well, and so you're not going to do it at all. And you get into that perpetual cycle of not taking action because you don't think you're good enough, you don't think you're strong enough, you don't think you're fit enough, you don't think you're wealthy enough of whatever. That self-judgment is such a huge, you know, roadblock for people.
You know, that's really interesting, and I can see how that would impact the choice. So can you give us an example of something that you might do to get someone to shift from that negative self-judgment and saying, you know, I can't do it, to get them to think differently about what their options are?
Mm-hmm. So I just want to kind of lay a bit of foundation for the listeners in that one of the first foundational pieces about getting out of self-judgment is to really start to recognize that there's no such thing as anything being right or wrong. And so it takes judgment on our part to decide if something is right or wrong, good or bad, right? So if you are judging yourself as I'm right for choosing this, I'm wrong for choosing this, those are judgments. But if we start to kind of pull back and say, okay, well, what if there was no such thing as right or wrong? And I could give up all of the judgments, and that everything I did was just a choice without it being a good choice or bad choice or right choice or wrong choice, or, you know, positive or negative, all of those things create the right and wrong, which keeps you locked in judgment, right? So the big thing is to be able to get to a space where you have no judgment on anything, including you.
That's interesting because what I just wrote down was, you know, choice without judgment. And we teach people in our Eat Great Live Well program that it's really all about choices and about the choice that you make. But I hadn't really thought with putting it with, you know, with judgment, because you're absolutely right. There are no right or wrong choices. They're just, they're choices. And we, in everything we do, we, it's, you know, really easy to do or it's easy not to do. But the difference is the choice that we make and the actions that we take. And I think that people really need to own that choice. And again, it goes back to that conversation. It's not, the choice really isn't impacted by what others think we can do. And we need to really own that choice. I'm either going to take action or I'm not. I'm going to go for a walk and get some exercise today, or I'm not. I'm going to eat a healthy breakfast, or I'm going to pass up, you know, that food that I know I don't feel that great after I eat it. You know, they, people can decide. And what we like to do is tell them to take just one small step at a time. You don't have to do everything at one time. And I think that's something else that holds people back, is thinking it's all or nothing.
Yeah. And that definitely, you know, that's a great, you know, that's a great piece on like the physical side of, you know, addressing it and making it manageable. And then, you know, if we build in that piece of like, okay, so you're making a choice and, you know, it's neither good nor bad. And I don't have to judge myself about whether I choose to eat the, you know, the nutritious breakfast or I choose to eat McDonald's hamburgers. And then recognizing it's like, okay, well, I have no judgment about those things, pardon me, but then taking it the next level and saying, okay, is this taking me closer to what I want or further away?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then it's not a good or bad. It's just, it's like, is it closer or is it further? It's not good or bad.
No, absolutely. And do you think part of the choice has to do with people not really understanding why they want to make a change? I know we ask the question, and we asked you, you know, what is your big why and how does it motivate you? One of the first things we do is get people to really understand, why do they want to get healthy? Why do they want to make a shift? And it's not because they want to lose 10 pounds to get into a dress to go to a class reunion. I mean, that's a temporary issue, but mm-hmm. why do they want to get healthy? What do they want to do? For me, it's because I've got 3 beautiful grandchildren, and my youngest son just got engaged this last week, so I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. And I want to be here for my family. I want to be a part of what they do. I want to be down on the floor playing with them and being able to go out and do things. To me, that's why I want to stay healthy, but I finally get that. It's not about losing 10 pounds to fit into a pair of pants.
Yeah, because, you know, if you make it about the 10 pounds to fit into a pair of pants, that requires, again, it puts you into that judgment. I'm not good enough unless I lose the 10 pounds to fit into these pants. Whereas if it's the bigger why, like with you, you know, it's like, I want to spend time with my grandkids. I want to be there for my son's wedding. You know, then it like totally shifts it into a much bigger place. And, you know, what's the bigger picture? Right? Where do mm-hmm. I want to go? That's definitely, I think, a huge key for people to stay in touch with, because, well, especially in particular with food, you know, it's not a short time fix. You want to be making lifestyle choices, right?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, when you said that about, you know, when you don't lose the 10 pounds to fit into something, then the self-judgment kicks in. And I hadn't really, I thought about it as being, you know, people think they're successful or they're failing. But when you shift how you look at it and look at, you know, the self-judgment coming back in, it totally, for me, it's kind of like that aha. It shifts the way I think about, you know, the results.
Mm-hmm. And even, you know, wording of like success and failure, people want to be careful with those kinds of words, because we have a lot of judgments around what success means and what failure means. And even the success and failure is a polarity, right? It's those opposites.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to take another quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how negative self-judgment sets people up for food addiction, and also how we sometimes get stuck in those stories from the past that keep us from taking action. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Are you an entrepreneur, coach, or consultant who's tired of constantly searching for the next client? Are you ready to get your expertise out of your head into the world and packaged into a profitable online course that delivers a steady stream of your perfect, ideal clients to your door every day and a steady, predictable source of revenue? Hi, this is Janine Blackwell, and I've created my own seven-figure courses, and I've walked hundreds of experts like you through the step-by-step of creating and launching their own course. I'd like to invite you to a free online training I'm hosting for you called The 7 Steps to Creating and Launching Your Profitable Online Course. I'm going to show you exactly how to create your course, market your course, and automate delivery of it so you can get your course up and running fast and have it work for you 24/7. You can grab your spot at www.createyouronlinecourse.com. So join me at www.createyouronlinecourse.com.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Dana Ferrant, and she's a Power Natrix coach. And in the last segment, and if you missed it, you need to go back and listen to it, we had a great conversation about self-judgment and about the words that you choose and how it affects the choices that you make. And I want to just shift just slightly, Dana, and I want to ask you, why do people get so stuck on focusing on the stories from their past rather than moving to action?
Great question. So what I see with people, and this is where we bring in really the energetic programming that I've really found in working with people, we get into a loop. And I call it the hamster wheel. So you get on a hamster wheel, and you're on your story, right? And so you just keep going around and around, and you think that if you run faster and you talk about it more, you'll unravel and you'll be able to get off that hamster wheel. So we think that we're unraveling it, but it's really just staying on the wheel. And the programming is in your system, and that's what needs to be dislodged. You need to get off the hamster wheel, address it differently to shut down those programs. So we need to like run an antivirus in our system to get it out so that you can unloop yourself.
So how do you get people to slow down so that, I love that, because we all are, you know, into the computer tech world, kind of running that antivirus to find out, you know, what's going on. How do you get people to slow down to get off that hamster wheel?
Well, and that's where, you know, doing sessions or going to workshops is really quite a valuable tool because, you know, lots of people will do self-help, they'll read books and whatnot, but they'll just, you know, skim it, they'll skim the surface, and it's like we have information overload, and we need to actually stop, we need to actually take the time to, you know, to either work with somebody like myself or, like I said, go to a workshop and get into the space that you can shut off those programs. It's not going to happen from your brain. Your brain cannot turn off the programs. So, because if they could, you'd already have turned them off. Like, you know logically that they're not good for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right? So you would just shut them off, but your brain isn't going to do it. So it needs to be addressed on the energy system because that's where it's stuck.
Do you think it has to do with people thinking if they don't try to do everything or try to fit it all in, that they're going to miss something that they absolutely need?
There's definitely a component of that. There's a franticness now with people, and I think some of it is that, you know, we have this information age that we've gone through, and there's no possible way to get all of the information, but we've lost touch with the slowing down and, you know, turning back inside and saying, okay, what do I know? Forget about what the rest of the world is telling me, but what do I know that's true for me?
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you stay in that frantic mindset and you try to unravel it in your brain, then you're always going to be in that, I need more information, I need more information, I need more information, and constantly thinking that you're not good enough. But when you drop down a layer, get into your body and get to know what is going on and what's really, you know, what's really true, other than your monkey mind, right? Now you can get some different information. You can start to make some changes on a deeper level.
That's so true. And I like your statement, if you knew what to do, you would have already done it. I was that way for a while. You know, there's so many webinars, there's so much information out there that I was saving it for later. I was signing up to do all these things. And you need to get to a point where I just had to be real with myself. There's no way, if I spent the next 10 years and did nothing else, I still couldn't catch up.
No.
So I really had to step back and be much more discriminating on what I say yes to and make sure that it really fits and in alignment. And it goes back to where we started our call and our conversation about kind of being intuitive and really listening to myself and what's important, because it's all nice, and I'm sure there's a little bit of value in all of it, but I don't need it all. I have a lot more answers and a lot more of what I need really right in me, but I wasn't listening to that. I was thinking everyone else had all the answers, and I was ignoring what I knew and what I felt.
Yeah. It really is about turning back in and turning on your own knowledge, your own wisdom. And that's actually, you know, we talked earlier about all the self-judgment. I mean, that's also a part of, like, turning off that self-judgment and acknowledging how much you already know, how amazing you already are, how powerful you already are.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how can negative self-judgment, how does that set us up for food addictions and kind of making those unhealthy choices?
For me, I really see this as being like a base for not only food addictions, but all addictions, but food in particular. I mean, I've had my own struggle with food throughout my healing process. And here's what I see happens is that, you know, it's like I feel bad and, you know, oh, I didn't do good on that, or I'm worried about how I'm going to perform on something coming up. And so I'm going to go to the cupboard and I'm going to grab some chocolate because I know that the chocolate makes me feel better, but then I feel bad about eating the chocolate. And so then, you know, I feel worse. So, oh, well, maybe I'll have some more chocolate. And so it's a perpetual loop thing that I can get into instead of going, okay, well, what else can I do here? If I address the stress and the anxiety and the judgments that I have of myself instead of going to the chocolate, and I'm just picking chocolate because that's my favorite. So if I go to clear my self-judgment, then that anxiety level goes down and I don't desire the chocolate. It changes it right at the root.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things we take people through in our Eat Great, Live Well program is we don't do a food journal. We do a mood journal. So we get people to look at, before they grab food, to really understand, first of all, what their physical hunger level is. Because I think a lot of people, when they're grabbing food, think they're hungry, but they're not physically hungry. They're hungry for something else, so they're using food to kind of mask the other things, their emotions that are going on. But we also get them to look at what were they thinking? What were they feeling? And get them to slow down just a little bit, because then they realize, like you, they realize they're grabbing it because it's emotional, not physical. They're trying to take care of other things that are going on. And as we know, it's going to give you a temporary feel-good fix, but then it's going to shift, and it's really not, it's not going to address the issue. It's not going to address what you're going through, and it's really ultimately in the long run is going to make it worse, not better, which is not what we're going for.
Absolutely. And it is the crazy thing. It's like, you know, the impulse is to go and grab something to feel better, and yet what's really going to make you feel better is to kind of go in to what you think is causing the anxiety, you know, to go there and take a little bit of the time to unravel it, and then you feel better.
Absolutely. And I think really understanding what's driving your choices, what you're thinking, how you're feeling, and I love the fact that you really get them to come in tune with that. You know, one of the things I did a number of years ago that was kind of the shift in my life is I went through an exercise, and it was a fear exercise. So I looked at all the things I was afraid of that could be happening. And then you go through them and say, okay, well, what's the probability of that happening? Because we get all these things in our head, kind of goes to those stories that drive our behaviors and our actions. You know, we think that something's going to happen, yet the probability of it happening is point, 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 you know, like nothing. And yet, it's driving my choices. And, you know, when I started to look at it, it actually was comical, but it was part of the process of getting me to shift some of the things I was doing. And it was a, like one of those big aha light bulb moments.
Oh, yeah. A great self-discovery process.
It is. And I think that's, you know, that's what I love about what people like yourself, what we do. Like, just it really helps people come in touch with what they're thinking, who they are, because there's so much information out there. And, you know, I think there's some great information out there, but I think there's also too much information out there, because people, you read one book and it says do this, and you read the next book and it says do just the opposite. You know, the next ones are some combinations. How do you know what to do? I mean, how do you get people to really stop and, like, figure out what do they need to do next?
Yeah, and, you know, that's a great question, because, it like, there really is so much information now. I had somebody say to me, you know, it's no longer about providing information. You know, in the 80s, it was, if you had the information, you could make lots of money with it. But now it's more about assimilating that information and you know, streamlining it for people, because there's massive amounts of information. But it's like, if you want to, you know, quench your thirst, you don't try to pour a bucket load of water down your throat at once, right? Sip on it. And so having somebody to guide you through, okay, you know, take this nugget, take this nugget, take this nugget, then build on it, build on it, build on it. That's the beauty of working with somebody versus, you know, the massively trying to consume information that's readily available.
And I love that analogy, because I'm a real visual learner. So I love that analogy of when you're thirsty, kind of sipping on the water and taking care of your thirst versus, like, what I envision is like the fire hose, like, you know, trying to quench your thirst with that, because that's that's, it's not going to do it. And I think that's what we do with information. We think if a little bit is good, then a lot must be a whole lot better. But it's about getting the right information, the right tools, the right support.
Yeah. And you know, constantly going to, you know, the internet and self-help books and things can also set up that self-judgment, in that it's like, oh, all these other people, they know better. And you talked about that earlier. It's like, they know more than me. Instead of, you know, like, one of the things I really love to work with clients is, like I said before, getting them in touch with their intuitive knowing, and giving them tools of how to, you know, how to check in, how to get some information out of their body, and what's going to work, what's not going to work for them. Not about what's going to work for the rest of the world, but we're all individuals.
Absolutely, absolutely. We need to take our final break. And when we come back, I want to have you share just a little bit more about what you do and maybe give us a tool or something that we can that our listeners can use to help them start to move from being stuck. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Dana Ferrant, and she's a Power Natrix coach, and we've been having a great conversation about self-judgment. We've been having a great conversation about choices, and if you've missed any of this interview, you want to go back and listen to it because there's some great nuggets to really help you shift what you're doing. And I want to spend our last little bit of time together, Dana. I want to ask you, once someone acknowledges that their own self-judgment is holding them back, is it just a matter of changing a habit? Can they do it by themselves, or what do they need to help get out of that self-judgment and start to make a shift?
Great question. So some people are really great at doing things on their own, and other people need help. So if you're the type of person that is really great about, you know, you buy your exercise DVD and you put it on religiously and you're really good about following it and doing it, then you know what? Grab the self-help tools and run with them. You know, that's your personality. But if you're like me, I'm the type of person, I can't do correspondence courses, and I buy those DVDs, exercise, and I have every good intention. I'm like, I'm so going to rock this out, and I watch it once, and that's it. You know? So I know I need somebody to hold me accountable. I need somebody to be there. I need somebody that I can ask questions of and say, okay, I don't totally understand this. I don't get it. Am I mixing this up? That's, you know, where having somebody like myself to actually go through it with you and make sure that you're getting the tools, using the tools in a way that are the fastest and the most effective for you.
Interesting. And, you know, when you say that, and I know I laughed, but I think that a lot of people think that they can do it on their own. They've got that little bit of information, and they could do it all by themselves. Yet, if they could, we wouldn't have so many people that have weight struggles or all the health issues and challenges that we have. And I believe that everyone's got the best of intentions. And I laugh because I've got some of those exercise DVDs and some of those things on my shelf. And, you know, you think that you can do it. And I think people have the best of intentions. But without that extra little bit of support, whether it's a buddy, whether it's a community, whether it's someone like yourself or like us, I think that people really need to be honest with themselves about what support and help they need. So, you know, can you share, is there a tool or an exercise that you might be able to share a little bit about to really help people start to get themselves out of feeling bad about who they are and really move to action? Is there something that they might be able
Absolutely.
To start with?
Yes. So I'm so excited. So one of the base things that I teach people is the concept that it's not yours. And what this is that, you know, you have the ability to pick up on what's going on with other people, right? You walk into a room and you know that there's something going on there. You can sense it. So you're that way all the time. You're always sensing what's going on with other people. And the same way, you're picking up people's judgments, their emotions, their feelings, and you may even pick up their food cravings, right? So a lot of this stuff that we say is, you know, our self-judgment and, you know, I'm not good at whatever, so much of it is not even ours. And so that's the very first piece, is that we want to kick out all the stuff that's not ours, because you can't fix something that's not yours.
Okay? Interesting. I think of when I go out to an event or I do something, we tend to want to model what other people are doing. So if other people are drinking, we may say, okay, I need to have a drink, I need to do it, even if I say I'm not going to. Or when I go and I decide to have, you know, a club soda instead of something alcoholic, people kind of look at you and it's like, well, why are you doing that?
Yeah. Yeah. So with that, it's a very, very simple tool. Okay. So what you want to do is, and right now what you can do is just pick something that is going on in your body, a physical sensation or a thought. All right, so just grab a hold of that. And what you're going to do is you're going to look for which of these three is the lightest, okay? So we're not looking for any kind of detailed answer. We don't want to engage the brain. So with that physical sensation or whatever it is in your body, you want to ask, does this belong to me, someone else, or something else? And it's whatever is that instant response is going to be your intuitive, your knowing. That's your body giving you your signal. Okay, and then whichever of the three, I want you to just imagine just kind of sending it, return to center, like send it back. You know, it's like you get a letter in the mail that's not addressed to you, you cross it out and you return to sender.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do that energetically. You just return it to sender. Because if it's yours, it'll come back. And if it's not, it'll go back to whoever it came from.
Oh, that's interesting. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, what if it's me? I don't want to send that back, but you're saying it's going to, if it's really me, it's going to stick with me. It's going to come back and be right there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like you send it off to this head office that, you know, takes care of sending it to wherever it needs to go. So if it's yours, they just go, oh, okay, no, that's actually yours, and you have it. But what I find is that if I don't tell people to send all of it back, then they try to get into their logical mind and go, well, it is mine because I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, may not be. What if 90% of what you're feeling all the time is not yours?
Interesting. I really, that's interesting, because I would presume that people really think that most of what they're feeling and thinking is from them. But I would really challenge people, if they do this exercise, and it's really, I love the fact that it's so simple. If they do this exercise, they'll find out that probably a lot of the choices and a lot of the things they're doing that they think are theirs really aren't. They're doing them because they think someone thinks they should do it, or they feel like they want to be part of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah, I have a great little quick story. So I know of a woman who, she, you know, every day they'd bring in donuts to the office, and she always had these cravings for these donuts, and she wanted to lose some weight. And so she started playing with this question, and she started realizing that her craving for the donuts were not hers. And within a month, she lost 25 pounds.
Wow. Just by doing the simple exercise?
Yes.
Wow.
Because, I mean, she followed it up with action, mm-hmm. and that when she realized it wasn't hers, then she didn't have the desire to have the donut, and so then, you know, she had less calories in, right? But
right.
The core of it is realizing that that wasn't even hers.
Wow. So it can be really powerful if you just, and it goes back to what we've been talking about. It goes back to listening to your intuition, because you have that. So I love this exercise, kind of helps bring that all back full circle.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that you talk about, and I just love you to just explain briefly what you mean, because you talk about programs running our bodies or systems that keep us stuck. Can you just briefly tell us what you mean by that?
Absolutely. So it's a very similar concept to, you know, programs that run your computer. You know, you have programs in the background that take care of things. You know, Windows has these automatic updates, right? And so there's a program that runs in the background to make sure that it goes off and it checks for the updates and then installs the updates and sends up this annoying message on your screen, right? That, oh, we're going to shut you down because we need to restart.
Mm-hmm.
So in our systems, in our energetic systems, we get programs set up that have automatic responses to things. So you come across somebody or something and they talk to you a certain way and you have that automatic, you know, stimulus response kind of deal. And then that sets up a program. Then you move into, say, let's say, for example, you meet somebody, they say something and then that makes you mad and then you're like mad for days, right? Because you're on that, that program's gotten fired
mm-hmm.
off.
Mm-hmm.
And until you can shut it down, you're still in that right? And
mm-hmm.
that runs in our system in the background all the time. So, but there's ways to actually turn it off.
Interesting. And I wish we had more time to talk about that because that sounds really interesting. And what I'd like to do is ask you, because you've shared so much, and even with that, how can our listeners get more information about what you shared today and what you have available to help support them?
Beautiful. Yeah. If you go to my website, so danaferrant.com, you'll see there's a sign up for the daily emails and there's some great little quick, you know, tips and tools. I put them into nice bite-sized nuggets. You'll get them, you know, delete the ones you don't have time for. That's okay. And for those that want, if you want to email me directly and mention that you heard the show, I will send you a PDF copy of my book, Beyond Fear.
Well, thank you for that generous offer. And we will put a link to your website and to contacting you on our Eat Great, Live Well radio.com website so that people will be able to get a hold of you. So, and I thank you so much for everything you shared today.
Mm-hmm.
As we wind down our call, can you give our listeners just one action that they can implement in the next week so they can start creating a healthier future for themselves and the ones they love?
Absolutely. So, you know, kind of elaborate a little bit more on that, you know, is it even yours? And we want to talk about food cravings. So every time you have a food craving, what you're going to do is you're going to stop for a moment and you're just going to check in, right? And it's looking for what is the lightest answer. So you have a food craving. Let's say you have a craving for chocolate. And then I would say to myself, does this belong to me, someone else, or something else? And I get the sensation of which one is the lightest, so that gives me information. Oh, wait, that doesn't belong to me. Cool. I'm going to send that back. Right? And I keep doing that every time a food craving comes up. That's my default piece. Start there, and that will reduce your food cravings if you keep playing with it.
I love that. So thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you've shared today. It's been a great conversation. And I think we need to have another conversation in the future, but thank you so much for your time and for everything you shared.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with ourselves. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link and share your thoughts. Share your questions about today's conversation and share what actions you're going to take. Share what you loved about what Dana shared, and let us know what you'd like to hear about in the future. Take care. Have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.